This is Ted Kennedy. There's a new movie about dinosaurs. It reminds me of Senator Al Simpson. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, Hollywood spent $70 million making this summer's mega movie. It's all about dinosaurs. But if they wanted rampaging dinosaurs, they could have saved a lot of money just by coming to Congress and filming you and all those rampaging Republican dinosaurs. Some of our erudite listeners used to raise their eyebrow when I called you a Neanderthal, Al. They pointed out that for their time and place in evolution, Neanderthals were highly developed. Your prehistoric Republican policies belong in Jurassic Park. They're real Stone Age stuff. Tax cuts for rich dinosaurs. Tax exemptions for big oil dinosaurs. Campaign reform exemptions for special interest dinosaurs. I know you had a cameo role in the movie Dave, Al. I'm sure I spotted you in this one, too. Tyrannosaurus Rex? Nonsense. It's Tyrannosaurus Simpson.
Why, you old reptile, you, but dead as a fossil wrong. Tyrannosaurus Rex was a predator with an insatiable appetite. Sounds like the perfect Democrat to me. Liberal predators in Congress have left no stone unturned in their eternal quest for more victims, rich and poor, to feed their obsessive and excessive government hungerings. But Ted, the granddaddy of them all, the monstrous behemoth known as the federal government, is still the largest beast known to mankind. It is known well for devouring everything in its path, and Ted, you just happen to be this critter's very best friend. No one keeps its belly bloated and full of tax dollars better than you, pal. Unlike the movie, there is no escape from this Jurassic Park we call the federal government. And Ted, so long as the voters let liberal prehistoric predators like you loose to roam the land, any American with even small change in their back pocket will continue to be the easy prey. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The international community hung tough and stiff to would-be dictator in Guatemala. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. A few weeks ago, the president of Guatemala tried to dispose of his country's constitution, shut down Congress and the Supreme Court, and surrounded homes of his political opponents with security police. But thanks to swift and precise action by the international community, this dictator wannabe had to back off. Ted, we still have a long way to go in assuring the constitutional process in Guatemala, and only time will tell. But the important thing is that the U.S. immediately declared solidly where it stood. Some in the media have used Yugoslavia to try to portray Secretary of State Christopher as weak and irresolute. But there is no mistaking the decisiveness with which he condemned the seizure of dictatorial power and put the U.S. on the line squarely behind constitutional democracy. Whatever the ultimate outcome in Guatemala, U.S. credibility and prestige were well served, a star for Warren on the chart.
Al, it's great to hear you praise Secretary of State Warren Christopher. The Clinton administration pledged to make democracy and human rights the cornerstones of our foreign policy, and they're keeping the promise. For the past 12 years, U.S. foreign policy failed that key test. We supported cruel and corrupt dictators in places like Somalia and Liberia. Their repressive and brutal regimes led to violent conflicts still erupting today. President Bush even rewarded China with most favored nation trade, despite the massacre of pro-democracy demonstrators in Tiananmen Square in Tibet. President Clinton's decision to condition trade with China on human rights is a major foreign policy advance. So was the administration's prompt action on Guatemala. It helped restore U.S. prestige throughout Latin America. Your support for President Clinton on foreign policy is gratifying, Al. Why not try it on domestic issues, too? Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. When military bases are closed in this country, alternative training facilities must be available. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, with the Cold War over, defense budget cuts are necessary. Military bases in some parts of the country have to be closed. That means real hardship for those communities. We need to guarantee that the burden is fairly shared. One of the most questionable parts of the proposal is the closing of facilities for training reserves. Regular forces can be shifted to other bases, but reserves have civilian jobs in their communities. If a facility is closed, they face a difficult choice between giving up the reserves or uprooting their families, moving to a new place, and finding a new job. The current Pentagon plan has too many arbitrary dislocations like that. The reserves are cost-effective, and they'll be playing an increasingly important part of our future defense. Beach closings should be fewer, Al, and fairer, too.
Do my eyes and brain deceive me? You finally get the defense cuts you've lusted for, and now you're upset? Dead liberals who are losing bases are giving their constituents exactly what they clamored for. Over the past three decades, daisy-clutching liberals have made a top priority out of putting the Pentagon out of business. So what's the rub now, Ted? Getting cold feet? Or is it just your constituents giving you the cold shoulder? The dazzling liberal support for the unnecessary Seawolf submarine and the current effort to save military bases are all really in defense of one thing, pork. But your novel preference for reserve forces over active duty forces is plain silly. The strength of our reserves must always be proportionate with our active duty forces. That's just common sense, Ted. Get off your feet, sit down easy. All your defense spending flip-flops have left you in a tizzy. Reservists in Massachusetts after you? Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Were we to judge some baseball owners on how well they treat their fans, they wouldn't even make it up to the minors. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. For some baseball owners, strike one came when they learned to use ultimatums like, either the city pays for my new stadium or I'm out of here. Strike two happened when ownership decided to destroy the historic pennant race by expanding the playoffs. The third and most recent whiff came when the owners made sure the playoff games will only be aired on a regional basis. Score one big strikeout for the owners. So why is it the fans keep losing money, M-O-N-E-Y? Ted, with baseball having a legally privileged antitrust exemption, owners must not act purely as businessmen in defiance of fan interest. Fact is, the fans now really have no leverage at all, and removing baseball's antitrust exemption may be the only way we'll be able to bench some baseball owners for foul play. What do you say, big fella? Can we count on you to be our cleanup hitter?
Al, Congress is right to go slow on revoking baseball's antitrust exemption. It might just finish off the game instead of fixing its problems. Basically, Al, your position is inconsistent. You rail against any changes in the game, as if baseball should be frozen in the good old days when the leagues had no playoffs, the Dodgers were still in Brooklyn, and hot dogs cost a nickel. Then you call for repeal of the antitrust exemption, even though that step will accelerate the changes you complain about and guarantee that baseball becomes more of a business than ever. The fundamental problem, Al, is who can represent the fans when the owners won't. The high-handed tactics of some owners, the race prejudice of others, and their refusal to have a strong independent commissioner have tarnished the sport. If the owners don't mend their ways, Al, Congress will step in, and major change will come to the major leagues. Al Simpson and I want to face off on topics our listeners suggest. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President Clinton's community service plan is making bipartisan progress in Congress. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, in the long run, President Clinton's proposal for community service may be the most important of all his initiatives. By involving citizens and meeting challenges in their communities, we can change the way the nation addresses the problems that have proved so difficult in recent years. The initiative contains several parts. It encourages school-based and community-based service programs for students of all ages, kindergarten through college. It asks colleges to give academic credit for community service courses. It creates full-time and part-time Peace Corps-type service programs throughout the United States. Community service, Al, it means tackling tough challenges together, not leaving it to others. Even you have to admit, Al, this is one Clinton initiative that deserves Republican support.
No doubt about it, Ted. Community service is a great idea. It's so great that we already have 17 community service for cash money programs under the umbrella of our enormous federal bureaucracy, and all Clinton does is add one more to the heap. Ted, our respected Senator Nancy Kassebaum has a Republican plan which would provide means for a college education to thousands of needy students who would participate in community service, but it would streamline all current community service programs into one program and save millions of bucks in the process. Makes good sense, don't it, pal? Most colleagues aren't all too thrilled about forking out $3.4 billion each and every year to fund this program. It's called being honestly concerned about the deficit, Ted. You must try it sometime. Maybe instead we should direct limited education dollars to smarten up those still uneducated as to the catastrophic effects of skyrocketing debt. Now there's a real community service. Wise up, America. You've nothing to lose but your country. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Even though Democrats say their spending cuts are equal to their tax hikes, that doesn't make it true. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, right here on Face Off, you have blustered on that the president's tax plan is equally divided between spending cuts and tax increases. But anyone who has bothered to look at the plan, and obviously, Ted, you have not, shows it's just not true. Ted, this package has $270 billion in new taxes. Are there also $270 billion in spending cuts? Not on your life. Most of the real cuts you say you're for aren't even in this package. They're cynically being left off until after the 96 presidential election. But will they ever happen? The history of your party is any guide, not a ghost of a chance. Come on now, Ted, fess up. You know, I know, the American people know. The president's package contains $3.16 of taxes for every $1 in cuts. Really, Ted, if the inspector general ever gets his mitts on your Democrat spin doctors, he'll run them out of town for malpractice.
Al, you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You sliced your statistics the wrong way and got the ratio wrong between taxes and spending cuts in the economic plan. Every dollar of new taxes is matched by a dollar of spending cuts. Every dollar of new taxes also goes to reduce the deficit, not for new spending. It's the first serious economic plan in 12 years. It's designed to achieve two important goals: restore economic growth and bring the deficit down. The plan is already producing positive results. Interest rates are down, so is unemployment. The deficit will be cut in half in the next 5 years, but no thanks to Republicans. You opposed every inch of the plan. You even filibustered the president's economic stimulus, which would have produced faster recovery. It's a fair plan, Al. The Senate passed it in spite of your resistance, and it's working to make the country stronger. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Comprehensive health reform should include long-term care for the elderly and disabled. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, comprehensive health reform should include protection for long-term care for the elderly and disabled, not just doctor and hospital care. Up to 50% of today's senior citizens will enter a nursing home sometime in their lives. Millions more, with help in meeting basic needs like walking, eating, dressing, and bathing, can continue to live at home. The lack of long-term care is a crisis for their families, too. Few are prepared to take on the responsibility of providing the care their loved ones need. Medicare doesn't cover such costs at all. Medicaid is available, but only after families exhaust their savings. Congress enacted Social Security for the elderly in the 1930s and Medicare in the 1960s. Let's finish the job, Al, by enacting long-term care in the 1990s.
Oh, there, big fella. If we don't start capping the growth of Social Security and Medicare and means test recipients, those two runaway horses are going to keep right on bucking this country and the future of our children right into the cactus. Ted, before you even think of trotting out runaway horse number three in the form of long-term care, you better make sure that it comes with a tight saddle, strong harness, and a fiscally disciplined jockey. Don't get me wrong. I agree that we should move ahead on long-term care, and the best present way to do it is to provide incentives to individuals so they can purchase private long-term care insurance. Promoting home care is a win-win arrangement for our elderly. Not only is it far more cost-effective than nursing home care, but it's truly where they want to be. Ted, the urgency for long-term care is growing each and every day, but we can't afford any more of those feel-good, no-pay capers that will only serve to put America out to pasture. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The Democrat puppets of big labor continue to try to do everything in their power to sink NAFTA. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. The big labor unions whine that there can never be free trade with Mexico because of wage disparities. Anyone for a history lesson? Ted, the primary reason the U.S. economy started to grow in the 19th century was when trade barriers between the states were dropped to the benefit of each state. And Ted, if you want to talk about wage gaps, we had a horrid thing called slavery back then, wages equal to zero. Ted, if the big labor argument made any sense, then why wouldn't the old Confederacy, Haiti, Brazil, and others be the economic leaders of the world? The North American Free Trade Agreement is not about exporting jobs. It's about freely exporting American products to 360 million consumers. Think of all the U.S. jobs we could create if we were to bottle and permanently export narrow-minded union protectionism.
Al, the verdict's still out on NAFTA. Ideally, a responsible trade agreement with Mexico can bring benefits to both countries and the entire hemisphere. When President Kennedy launched the Alliance for Progress in the 1960s, he began a new era of cooperation between the United States and Latin America. Then and now, an economically strong Mexico with prosperity for its people is in the best interest of the United States, too. But free trade should also be fair trade. Let's do NAFTA the right way, so it's beneficial to both countries, not the wrong way that hurts American workers and destroys American jobs. NAFTA should not be an incentive for U.S. plants to close down here and reopen in Mexico to take advantage of low wages and lax anti-pollution rules. That's why the Clinton administration is negotiating side agreements with Mexico on labor and environmental issues. If those agreements pass muster, Al, NAFTA will pass too. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Industries need standards to measure worker skills. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a key part of our effort to improve the economy involves setting standards for worker skills. U.S. industries suffer today because there's no consensus on basic skills that workers should have, or which training programs are effective in teaching the skills, or how to certify that particular workers have acquired the skills. Employers are often simply hiring in the dark. The Clinton administration reform plan will fill these gaps. It will set standards for job training programs and certify that participants have the right skills for particular jobs. Business gets nervous when government sets national standards, but don't bail out too soon, Al. Other countries do this. The U.S. fell behind in recent years, Al. Don't let your right-wing ideas interfere with sensible steps to rebuild our economy and strengthen our workforce.
Ted, your noble idea of rebuilding our economy and strengthening our workforce is to have the government steal more job-creating capital from U.S. businesses and then strip them of their last remaining shred of freedom. Once again, you have managed to taint a breakthrough bipartisan education bill with your last-minute liberal hype and hoorah. Ted, can't you ever really listen to the honest and heartfelt concerns of American businessmen and women about effective standards for job training? They're the real experts, and they want to participate, but you never let them. Your idea of reaching out to struggling American businesses to slam the door right in their mush. And unless direct and honest outreach efforts are made to meet the real needs of these primary participants, cooperative efforts among the public and the private sector will just not happen. Ted, it's just a silly hunch of mine, but if you want that old goose to lay more golden eggs, then belting its brains out sure doesn't seem like the right answer. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Of all the many challenges facing us in this country and around this old world, none compares to that of controlling population growth. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Today, there are 5.4 billion people on the Earth, and if current birth and death rates continue, the world's population will double in just 40 years. We are on a true collision course with a powerful global catastrophe. Ted, 95% of our world's population growth is taking place in some third world nations in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. As women in these countries desperately seek ways to control their reproductive lives, they are stopped short because of the senseless lack of family planning services, especially to contraception and other legal options. This is intolerable. The stakes for assuring responsible and sustainable population levels have never been higher. When you consider that the special interest out there for this legislation is the entire human race, the last thing we need is ideological or religious vapor lock. We're all in this one together. Ready to help?
Al, you're preaching to the choir and talking like a Democrat. You even tried behind the scenes to head off the Bush and Reagan administration's all-out opposition to international family planning programs. The Reagan-Bush policy, adopted in a 1984 conference in Mexico City, barred foreign aid for organizations involved in any aspect of abortion services or counseling. That meant no U.S. funds for hard-pressed UN and other international organizations doing worthwhile work in family planning, even if only a tiny portion of activities involved abortion, even if U.S. funds weren't used for those activities. The respected International Planned Parenthood Federation had its funds cut off. One of President Clinton's first official actions last January was an executive order reversing that international gag rule. You were a welcome Republican voice for that change, Al. If only there'd been more of you. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Al Simpson. The mad bomber terrorist Saddam Hussein is still up to his old tricks, and President Clinton isn't a bit amused. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, in response to Saddam Hussein's terrorist plot to assassinate former President George Bush, President Clinton reared up and hurled 23 missiles into an Iraqi intelligence building in downtown Baghdad. It was a decisive act that has strong support in the international community. The attack clearly shows Saddam that America will not just sit still when our country becomes the target of vicious and violent aggression. Ted, since 86, we've heard hardly a peep out of Gaddafi since we really rattled his cage. If Saddam keeps this stuff up, he's likely to get the same message next time. But, Ted, we should all thank the Reagan and Bush administrations for providing President Clinton with the military capability and hardware to conduct and succeed in such a mission. Clinton should make darn sure that future presidents always have the same military options.
Al, I supported President Clinton's decision to launch that missile strike against Iraq. After careful investigation by the Pentagon and CIA, it was clear the Iraqi intelligence service, and probably Saddam Hussein himself, attempted to assassinate President Bush on his visit to Kuwait last April. Fortunately, their despicable terrorist plot was discovered and blocked. By attacking the Iraqi intelligence service compound, President Clinton struck back against Saddam's henchmen directly responsible for the plot. It was not an attack on the Iraqi people. You got one thing wrong, though, Al. President Reagan's similar strike against Libya in 1986 didn't teach Gaddafi a thing. 2 years later, Gaddafi's agents bombed Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, and 189 Americans were killed. Let's hope Saddam gets President Clinton's message, Al, but don't bet on it. Terrorists rarely do. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Don't ask, don't tell. Won't work as the way to end discrimination against gays and lesbians in the military. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the White House and the Pentagon are in the home stretch of deciding what to do about the current discriminatory ban on gays and lesbians in the military. Right-wingers say do nothing. Keep the current ban in place. I hope you're not in favor of that bigotry, Al. One compromise being floated is known as don't ask, don't tell, meaning the Pentagon won't ask members of the armed forces if they're gay. But if it becomes known in any way that they are, they get kicked out of the service. As a practical matter, that's no real change from the current ban. Some restrictions on behavior may be appropriate for gays just as they are for straights, but the restrictions have to be reasonable. If even Barry Goldwater says end the ban, how can Al Simpson support it?
Ted, compromise is one word you know little about. You have furnished our gentle listeners with a textbook example of how extremes have an awful lot in common. The only real opponents of the don't ask, don't tell compromise are ultra-partisans on the left like you, Ted, and the tough partisans on the right. That means this compromise falls right smack in the middle where it should be. Ted, you never give our friend Senator Sam Nunn any credit. Moderates from both parties know that an effectively functioning, unified military must always be a highest priority. It's not a social organization. Hopefully we can achieve that goal and recognize most individual rights, too. Cheer up, Ted. This is a victory for our military and for homosexuals who desire to become a part of the military. To do that, they need only keep their private lives private. Bill Clinton really learned the hard way that social engineering has no place in the practical world of the U.S. Armed Forces. They're trained for war. But ideological extremists never learn, do they? True with you, too, Ted. Ted Kennedy and I would like to face off on a topic that intrigues you. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. A new study points out special dangers for children from pesticide residues and food. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a major study by the respected National Academy of Sciences, 5 years in the making, was released the other day on pesticides in children. For years, we thought that what's safe for adults is safe for children, too. It's bad enough that current federal regulations balance agricultural benefits against health risks. The rules have so many loopholes that dangerous chemicals often stay on the market. It's even worse that so little is known about the greater potential danger for infants and children, especially when medical experts say the years of early child development are the most vulnerable period for lifetime exposure to cancer risks. To its credit, the Clinton administration is moving quickly to implement the report's recommendations. That's a far cry, Al, from the last 12 years when pesticides were king.
Ted, you are really the king pest, and no amount of our Republican bug spray has ever been able to phase you. But let's get real here. Other than a press release, Bill Clinton has not done one thing to help implement the NAS report. Ted, your attempt to poison this apple in partisanship pollutes the fact that both Republicans and Democrats support the findings in this report. But, Ted, you introduced legislation that makes us wonder if you even looked at the NAS report. Your cumbersome bill ignores the fact that every single recommendation in that report can be met without any change in existing law. Not only that, but thanks to these endless and mindless Kennedy-Waxman EPA regulations, it could take as long as 10 years before the first pesticide is even evaluated. Ted, when the time comes for the poor EPA employees to start digging into this one, they'll remember who drafted those long-winded regs and raise you high as top pest on their list for the raid can. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The Hatch Act is very needed to keep able government workers from turning into political hacks. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, in the heat of passion, lust for more union PAC money, Democrats have completely ignored the consequences of gutting the Hatch Act. Common Cause has their antenna up. This one they know, before the law, many federal workers had to sell their soul to the powers that be if they wanted to work for the government. The Hatch Act is the only thing keeping federal unions from becoming full-fledged partisan political hack machines. Ted, when you consider that 93% of all federal union PAC money goes to Democrats, it doesn't take a Sherlock Holmes to figure out where greedy Dems get their inspiration. Careful, Ted. Remember, those who manipulate the laws to meet partisan political objectives are known as fat cats. Remember the old Democrat machines of Boss Tweed and Tammany Hall in Boston. That's why we have a Hatch Act. Times may change, pal, but human nature sure does not.
Al, your Republican inferiority complex is showing. You're so afraid federal employees will work to elect Democrats, you're willing to deny their basic right to participate in the political system. The Hatch Act made sense in another era to protect federal workers from political exploitation by their bosses. But the act is prehistoric. It belongs in Jurassic Park with the other dinosaurs. Sure, let's keep politics out of the workplace, but federal employees should be able to participate in political activities in their spare time. Under the Hatch Act, they can't even stuff envelopes or pass out campaign brochures in their communities. Just because people work for the government doesn't mean they have to give up fundamental rights. When the issue is good government, you always say no. No to accessible voter registration. No to limits on campaign spending. No to Hatch Act reform. You'd better stop that losing streak, Al, before the voters stopped you in 1994. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face-Off. Just contact the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress is finally reading the Riot Act, Operation Rescue, and its tactics of intimidation against doctors and patients at abortion clinics. Al, in the old days, a sheriff could read the Riot Act to an unruly crowd and then use the law to disperse it. That's the way Congress is dealing with Operation Rescue and its blockades of health clinics that provide abortion services and counseling. Legislation to stop that kind of unacceptable intimidation has just been approved by a solid bipartisan majority of the Senate Labor Committee. It's ready for action by the full Senate. It provides new federal protections for physicians, patients, and clinics, and it imposes stiff penalties for violations. The bill won't affect peaceful protests protected by the Constitution, but it will stop the violent tactics of intimidation that extremist groups like Operation Rescue are using in their nationwide attempt to close down the clinics. I know you're pro-choice, Al. Join us in stopping these extremists bent on preventing any choice.
Ted, these extremists prevent choice and obstruct the law. Operation Rescue's contempt for the law by taking to the streets will no longer be tolerated. The Labor Committee should be congratulated for tackling the problem. But let's not forget other rabid groups out there that continue to try to take their case over and above the letter of the law as well. Ted, what about the animal rights groups and their raids on medical research facilities? What about members of striking labor unions who vandalize and destroy their worksite property? And what about Greenpeace and some other environmental crackpot groups like that? And ACT UP? All of these radical groups are guilty of physically obstructing law-abiding citizens, and we now know in some cases even murder. Ted, it's time to call it like it is and recognize some of these zealots for what they really are, plain criminals. Ted Kennedy and I would like to face off on a topic that intrigues you. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. At a time when U.S. companies are making some great strides to benefit their workers, the striker replacement bill comes along to pull the plug. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, with more and more companies working closely with their employees to empower them to achieve a workplace environment that cuts down the need for most strikes, why in blazes would Democrats want to ruin all that progress with this horrible striker replacement bill? Haven't you Dems done enough damage already with your tax hikes and employer mandates? Ted, your old political ally, The Washington Post, has come out forcefully against the striker bill. Why would they be opposed? Maybe it's because they're the only liberals in Washington who don't get big union labor PAC money. Ted, somebody has forgotten again to tell you that you simply can't create more employees by tying a noose around the neck of employers. Come on, Ted, open your eyes. Many American businesses need CPR, not a death by public hanging. Get the hang of it?
Al, you overdosed on Reaganomics and the anti-worker, anti-labor, union-busting mentality of the past 12 years. We need to end that unfair Republican tilt against working men and women. The National Labor Relations Act was one of the most enduring achievements of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal. It gave workers the right to join unions, engage in collective bargaining, and participate in peaceful activities like strikes without fear of losing their jobs. President Reagan replaced the New Deal for labor with a stacked deck for business. He took a loophole in the law and drove a truck through it. He let employers hire permanent replacements for striking workers, not just temporary replacements. The House of Representatives has just passed legislation to close that loophole. Republican senators are threatening to filibuster it. That's playing with fire, Al. If Republican senators block the strike replacement bill, the voters may just decide to permanently replace a few Republican senators. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Coverage of mental health care should be part of a comprehensive health reform. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, according to the best available data, 1 in 5 adults is afflicted with some degree of mental illness. The figure is 1 in 8 for children. Mental illness costs the nation $130 billion a year in medical expenses, lost productivity, and other costs. Modern medicine can prevent and treat many of these illnesses, but insurance often doesn't cover it. Arbitrary cutoffs limit the number of inpatient days and outpatient visits. The limits are supposed to control costs, but they discourage early treatment and they favor excessive and costly hospital care. Comprehensive health reform can fix that, Al. Coverage for early care and less expensive community-based care means better care for fewer dollars and more people. It's more than just a cliche, Al. An ounce of prevention in health care, it really is worth a pound of cure.
You must mean tons, Ted, because nothing you do is ever measured in ounces. Ted, when it comes to mental health coverage, I agree fully with the fiscally responsible approach taken by our First Lady. Severe cases of mental health should receive complete coverage, but the U.S. cannot afford the same high level of services for mental illness as for physical illness. Ted, one-tenth of the $900 billion annual health care budget is spent on mental health services, and those not treated who are mentally ill put a great demand on our social service, welfare, and detention systems. Providing full coverage for all mental illness should be our eventual goal, but not at the moment. Ted, I realize that probably isn't good enough for you, but we have a fiscal cancer called the $4.3 trillion national debt that will never be treatable until you liberals are finally cured of your obsessive, compulsive spending addiction. Need a second opinion? Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System.